welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And again, thank you to Mike Hoffman, owner and, I was going to say founder, but not really founder, but owner of Service Master by Disaster Professionals. A great guy, and we talked about success. And I am so excited because this is the debut show of Mind Your Body starring Journey Reeves, who is a fitness guru. Journey, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you, Dave.
This is so exciting because this is really what the world needs. I mean, it's, you know, people seem to be in a rush, right? They seem to be in and out of things, all worried about maybe material things and stuff, but they forget one thing. They forget about taking care of their health.
Yep, absolutely.
So tell us, how do you change that? How do you make a difference? What do you do?
You know, I beat my head against a wall for a while.
But you, that can't be, because Tom, isn't she beautiful? Look at that. There's no way you can beat your head against a wall.
You know, a lot of it's just knowledge, and knowledge is power. A lot of people think money is power, and a lot of people think that having things is power. But the reality is that if you have the knowledge of the human body, you don't want to mess with it. It is the most miraculous creation that there is, and it's so beautiful and so intricate and so interesting. And you know, if I can get people to understand that this is the greatest gift that you're given, you know, because if you don't have a healthy body, I don't care what kind of car you drive. I don't care how successful you are. I don't care who you know. If you aren't living healthfully enough to maintain your life in a comfortable way, and that doesn't require as much as people think it does, then nothing else really matters. Your relationships fail. Your business will fail. I mean, if you're stuck in the hospital with a triple bypass for 6 weeks, who's doing your work for you?
Yeah.
You know, and so it's, it you know, people who don't have time to take care of themselves certainly don't have time to get sick.
So what you're really talking about is quality of life.
Absolutely.
And that's
adding
good.
Life to your years. Absolutely.
And part of that, I suspect, is, you know, if you have kids and a spouse and people relying on you, it's even, well, I was going to say more important, maybe not more important, but very important.
Absolutely. Life is stressful enough, right? Yeah. I mean, we're all struggling to get our to-do list done.
Yeah.
Mine's right there.
Oh, it is. Wow, that's a big list.
I actually have several lists. You know, I'm a busy person, but is my health and fitness important to me? Absolutely, because I can't be good at anything else if I'm not feeling my best. And so, you know, you can drag yourself through life and complain and always feel yucky and always feel uncomfortable and always have pain, or you can do the things that it takes to prevent and reverse a lot of this stuff. So, you know, I'm going to tackle the biggest thing first today, which is metabolic syndrome, which a lot of people don't even understand what that is. Or
I don't even know how to spell it.
Well, that's it's right there.
Oh, there it is. I have it here, too, in fact. So okay, we're going to talk about that.
That's what we're going to start with.
We have some great guests coming on, too. We should let people know at 3, I think it's 3:20, we're going to have Tony Mandarich. He was a second overall pick, I believe in 1989. That is phenomenal.
Out of Michigan State, yeah.
And I think he's the highest pick out of Michigan State ever. And Troy Aikman was number one. That shows you.
Oh, that was a big year.
And then you had Barry Sanders being picked, and he was picked number two. That's all. I mean, for an offensive guard, I don't think that's ever happened.
Yeah,
that is phenomenal. Yeah.
But the best part about Tony is that he's just an amazing human being. I mean, he's been through a lot, but he's just like the most lovely, lovely person. And you know, he's exactly the demographic that I'm really looking at right now, because this is, you know, this is the age and the demographic that is going to cost us the most money in the economy. Yeah. This is an economy issue as much as it is a political issue, much as it is a medical issue. You know, this is affecting every single aspect of American life right now. And we can complain until we're blue in the face, but the reality of it is that, you know, at the healthcare crisis, the solution to it starts in our home. It starts with our health.
That makes sense. I mean, if you think about it, I guess if everyone really was on a program, it would cut your healthcare costs, wouldn't it?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Huge, right?
I mean, it's we have been going in the wrong direction. I've been doing this for 30 years. We've been going in the wrong direction the entire time. And a lot of it's the last show you were talking about, the instant gratification and the immediateness of our needs being met and truly, you know, living a healthy and fit lifestyle. It's hard to get started. And a lot of people just seems so overwhelming to them. But the two guests that I have today have overcome everything. They've overcome physical issues, family issues, everything, in order to become the people that they are today, both very, very successful human beings because, in part, they take good care of themselves.
And, of course, our second guest at, I think it's at 3:40, is Fred Erickson, a martial art expert. Man, I love that karate
National
stuff.
Champion. He is just something else, I got to tell you. I'm really excited that he agreed to do this because he is just... They don't make him like Fred Erickson very often, and he is just a superior athlete, but again, just a super great guy.
That is phenomenal. This is good stuff. Now,
and you don't want to get on his bad side.
I'm looking at all these initials after your name. I don't know what they are. Can I mention them and you could tell
us?
Oh,
sure.
Because it's very impressive. Okay, CSCS.
Okay, that is Certified Strength and Conditioning Specialist. And
can we do an arm wrestle?
No,
sure.
I'm
teasing. Okay, absolutely. Tom, get in here. Wow, you look very fit. And so that's a certified?
That is Certified Strength and Conditioning Specialist, and that's through the National Strength Training and Conditioning Association, which is one of the associations that's out there. And I've had that since 1995.
Oh, nice.
So that is, yeah, that is, that's specifically for athletes and tactical officers, stuff like that. I've been doing a lot of training with police, military, fire. So cool. So fun.
Wow,
love guys.
Firemen are really have to be in great shape just to be a fireman.
Yep, especially now because they, you know, as people, it becomes more and more important because the statistics right now, and this is from the training conference that I just went to, the statistics of sudden death is highest among firefighters.
Oh,
because
really?
They have to go from resting to exercise so quickly.
Oh.
I mean, they have to get up, get dressed, get either climbing stairs with gear on within moments of you know, they were just sitting around having dinner.
Yeah.
And so they really need to take care of themselves on every level.
No question. How about the initials PES?
Okay, that is Performance Enhancement Specialist.
Wow, tell us about
that. So that is through National Academy of Sports Medicine, and that is also sports-specific training. So, again, that's working with athletes and their specific needs for their training.
How about CES?
Okay, CES is my newest one. I'm very excited about it. That is Corrective Exercise Specialist. And that is everyone from, I have one client who is a hemiplegic from a stroke that he had a couple years ago, 82-year-old man who needs to stand up straight and decreases falling. He was falling a lot. Essentially, every single person has structural issues that need to be addressed. And so that's the training that I got to be able to help people live a pain-free and very functional life.
That's why they call you the fitness guru. I love
I've
that.
I've been around a long time.
Well, you look young, though.
Oh, thank you.
Very
thank
young.
You.
And we should have a contest. Yes, journey's age. Okay, but you say you've been on a long journey. Okay,
yes.
I just thought I would throw that
there,
in. Now,
thank you, Dave.
Talk about, we'll take a break in about 4 or 5 minutes, but talk about the motivation it takes for people. I mean, one of your target audiences, I think, is the baby boomers.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it take to motivate them? I sort of like what you said earlier about, you know, belief about really treating your body as like, you know, something like a gift, you mentioned.
It's a gift. It's a wonderful gift. Unfortunately, it usually takes this specific population getting sick. It usually takes a wake-up call of some kind. Either they haven't been to the doctor for a long time and they got some blood work done, and the doctor's very concerned about, you know, these metabolic syndrome symptoms that I'm going to talk about. But most of the time it's they have severe chest pains, or they have severe back pains, or they have, you know, a headache that won't go away, or they find a nodule. I mean, there's most of the time, in order to get people motivated to take better care of themselves, unfortunately, is because something's wrong.
So there's really
sad
a better way, what you're saying, is
absolutely.
Maybe start today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that might
if
be the
everybody,
way to
you know, if I was president, everybody'd have to start exercising today.
Hey, that's interesting.
Day.
None of the politicians enforce that, do they?
Oh, my gosh, no.
That'd be interesting. Maybe a tax credit if you exercise? Would that
well,
be
they're working
cool?
it on the insurance end of things, so I think they're looking towards insurance companies right now are really just starting to get on the bandwagon. Now I do some work for Cigna, and
oh, really?
They're doing it. You know, the legislature, by the time this gets you know, it's gonna affect big business in a bad way, okay? Because now all of a sudden pharmaceutical companies aren't going to have as much business if people start taking care of themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Junk food companies, which used to be the tobacco companies, bought up all the fast food.
They did?
Anything that you tear open.
Sneaky, isn't it?
You start reading about it and you're just like, these are the people who are driving the lobbyists that we were talking about a couple weeks ago on the show, right?
Yeah.
These are the people who are getting us elected officials because they're the ones making sure there's people get in. So it's really up to the individual to start taking better care of themselves at the very, very basic level, and that's what's in your pantry and what you do on a daily basis. It's the only fix to this.
So what you're really saying is greed and power seem to run addictions among the population, which makes it harder to get motivated to work out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the government's not going to help us until, you know, more and more studies come out saying, look, you guys got to do something. Now, the government is taking some steps right now. There's a myplate.gov. They got rid of the pyramid, and they put in a better place. So if anybody wants to get started on their diet today, go to myplate.gov.
Oh.
And you can start tracking your intake, and it'll design a little bit of a – it's kind of a cookie cutter, so it's not going to be as individualized as something that I do, but it's a start. You know, if somebody's not a budget, they can just start really analyzing the food that they're taking in. So one whole show, we'll do one whole show that's just diet. You know,
Cool.
You could talk for a year just on diet.
Oh, I bet. So how do you why don't we take a real quick break right now, and when we come back and before Tony calls in, we'll talk a little bit more about, like, what's a typical program where I suspect you customize it for people.
Absolutely.
And,
Nobody's the same.
And also I'm interested in how stress relates to health. I think that's a very interesting topic. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with fitness guru Jenny Reeves, starring, of a new show. It's the debut show today, Mind Your Body, and we'll be right back.
How healthy is your business? Is your business plan helping your bottom line? Do you even have a business plan? Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business has over 25 years of helping businesses of all kinds and sizes to get them where their owners want them to go. She uses her special wellness check process. It's to assess where your business is now, and then uses her own unique 7 steps business excellence plan to expand and grow your business into something to be proud of. Barbara will take a holistic or a global appreciation view of your company, and that's absolutely going to make a difference to your bottom line. So call now and schedule a wellness check and watch your business grow. 602-750-4518. That's Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business, 602-750-4518.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And this is the debut show of Mind Your Body, starring fitness guru Jenny Reeves.
Journey.
Oh, what did I say? I said Jenny.
Yeah. Everybody does it.
I said
everybody
Journey earlier, and then I said Jenny. I have a daughter named Jenny. So everyone says Jenny.
No, well, they Jemmy, Jerry, Jory, Jarny.
Wow.
I've had them all.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's Journey.
It's Journey Reeves, absolutely. And anyway, just before we get to Tony, let's talk real quickly about stress. How does stress, I know that's a big topic.
It's a huge topic.
But is that something in your program that you help people with?
Absolutely. First thing we have to do is understand that stress is normal. It's natural. Everybody's got it. It is a biological, physiological response that happens in the body. Whether you're about to get hit by a car, whether you're being chased by an elephant, or whether you just had a breakup with your boyfriend, that stress response is exactly the same inside of the body, okay? It releases adrenaline, which is what gives you, remember, if you've ever been like almost sideswiped by a car and you just get real shaky and nervous, okay, that's quick boost of adrenaline that's responsible for fight or flight. Okay, it gets you ready to go. Digestive system shuts down, and you are on high mode speed alert. Now, that same exact response is happening in the body, regardless of whether you're in physical danger or you're in any kind of perceived stressful situation. So the first thing people need to understand is that stress is physical, not emotional. Okay? It has nothing to do how you process internal or how you process external stimuli will determine what happens inside. Okay, so the first thing we have to do is we have to teach them how to breathe. We need to teach them how to manage their stress. I'm still working on this with my 10-year-old son. So I can, if we
is
can
it
get
his
that
stress
kid,
or your stress?
It's turning into both. So how does that affect the body? Well, it also raises something called cortisol levels, which are not designed to be high. And most of us are walking around with way too high of cortisol levels, which leads to a lot of the metabolic symptoms that we're going to talk about a little bit later on.
Wow.
In the show.
So there's a lot to this.
There's a lot to
you
it.
Seem, wow.
Human body's
how did
crazy.
You know? You're a wealth of knowledge.
Well, thank you.
This is very impressive.
It's just, it's what I do.
I love it. And you have a
passion
for it.
Absolutely fascinated by it. Yep.
No question. Well, let's join us right now is a former NFL player and actually the second overall pick in 1989, Tony Mandarich. How are you, Tony?
Good. How are you guys?
We are great. And, of course, you know Journey here.
Hey, Tony.
I don't know Jenny, but
I know that would come back to haunt me. Jenny Journey, but I'm never going to live that down. But it's a great journey that you've been on, and you're going to help other people
have a terrific
journey
Absolutely.
In life.
Absolutely.
So, okay, we got a bunch of we want to talk to Tony, and you got some questions for Tony.
All right, I do. And what Tony doesn't know is exactly why I chose him for this show.
Oh, it's a surprise?
It is. First of all, Tony, how is your quadricep?
You know, it's getting a lot better. We're 3.5 weeks after surgery, and I think it's healing up great. It's still no weight bearing for 2.5 weeks, and then slowly physical therapy, and then eventually get back on my feet.
Yeah, has that been tough to be off your feet?
Yes. It's, you know what? It's tough on my joints. It's tough on my wrists and my shoulders because of the walker.
Yep.
And, you know, you're using exercise, or you're doing it like, almost like an exercise you're not used to doing, and you know, I sit there at night and I go, I wonder why my shoulders hurt so bad. It's because I'm around 290 pounds.
It's a good thing you lost a little weight recently.
Yeah,
to help
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Wow, Tony, you
exactly.
should have been a football player. Oh, you were. You were an All-American at Michigan State, weren't you?
Yeah. I was a two-time All-American my junior and senior year and, you know, won some, you know, Big Ten Lineman of the Year twice and was finished fourth in the Heisman and, you know, a bunch of stuff, and I had some athletic accomplishments that I was pretty proud of. But, you know, there was obviously a lot of work involved behind all that stuff.
No question about it.
Funny you should mention that. You know, here's, Tony, I'm going to ask you a series of questions, but the first thing that I wanted to let people know is that you are a fixture at the gym. You are there. You're working out. Yep. You're doing whatever it takes. You know, you never stop. And that's why I asked about your quad, because I know that's got to be driving you crazy not to be going to the gym. But you are sort of one of the people that I look to as somebody who could have just rested. He could have just relaxed, right? You could have just kind of sat back and let yourself get ex-athlete-like.
Exactly.
And you chose not to. So do you mind telling everybody how old you are, Tony?
No, not at all. I'm 45. You know, my birthday's in September, so, I'm almost, 45 and a half now, but still what I consider early middle age.
Right. I think that's a good way to look at it, right?
Yeah.
Well, the 40s are the new 30s.
Well, except I think the 40s are the new high 20s, hopefully.
Yeah, that's right. I even like that better.
Except we pay college tuition for our children.
Yeah, that's Exactly.
Instead of paying off our own loans, now we're giving it to our kids.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm 45, and I mean, I feel pretty darn good.
And you look wonderful. And a shout-out to your beautiful wife, who's also very active and healthy and just ran her first half marathon, which was a big accomplishment for her.
It was.
You know, as somebody who shouldn't be walking right now, she's sort of the poster child for get up and get it done.
A lot of the stuff that you've worked with her has helped her tremendously.
Well, thank you. She is one of my favorite people. So was there a time, Tony, that you took time off and didn't exercise and take care of yourself?
Well, there was. You know, I had what you could, you know, if anybody knows my history or my story, it was an up and down career. It was a tumultuous career or life, whatever you want to call it. You know, struggled with alcoholism and drug addiction, with painkillers. Once I'd left college, going into the NFL. So even though I was in the NFL for 4 years, that first time from 1989 to 92, you know, obviously working out and doing everything, I was addicted and a daily user of painkillers. So when I was done playing at the end of 1992, beginning of 93, I went 3 more years, and in those 3 years, I did no working out.
Yeah.
I really let myself go, and obviously I was in the, you know, core of my disease of alcoholism, and it just got worse and worse and worse. And then, you know, when the miracle happened in March 23rd of 95, I started working out again. And, you know, I was sober, you know, clear eyes, clear head, a whole new different outlook on life, and really have been working out ever since. And it's something for me that I've been doing since I was 13 years old. Obviously not at a real intense level at that age, but a little bit of lifting and you know, more push-ups and you know, some plyometrics and stuff like that. Not so much weight room stuff. But as I got older and into high school, you know, the weights came into play. So for me, the weight room is, I can honestly say sometimes I feel more comfortable or more at home in a weight room or a fitness facility than I do at home sometimes.
Isn't that the truth? I feel the exact same way. I'm so there with you on that. Sometimes it's just a comfort zone. Now remember, most of the people listening are looking at us like, what are you talking about? You can't pay me to go in a gym. But you know, it's a good story because it was, you went 3 years with doing nothing. Obviously, you learned very valuable things in those 3 years that you had to go through to get to where you are now, correct? So, you know, when people say, oh, I could never get started, or there's, you know, there's no way, and the excuse, you know, you're a good example of like, look, here's someone who had every excuse in the book. You could have just, you know, disappeared in a, you know, taking a back seat and sat in your armchair the rest of your life.
It would have been a lot easier. I mean, yeah, it would have been a lot easier, you know, and it just, you know, I didn't choose that route because, I mean, you know, I enjoy, I mean, I really do enjoy life and I really do love life. And I'm thinking to myself, if you want longevity to keep enjoying this thing, you've got to, you know, do something to keep your physical body in shape.
You know, and Tony, you know, it sounds like also that you're really helping other people that may have had similar situations or circumstances, and you're giving the gift of allowing them to enjoy a longer life, too. Do you feel like you're a role model?
You know, I do. You know, I approach the phrase role model very cautiously because, you know, there was a lot of, I mean, I could be a role model for things to do and things not to do. You know, from some of my experiences that I've done in life, but I think when you're an athlete and or a celebrity or, you know, a political figure or somewhere where you're in the public eye, I think almost by default you become a role model to a degree. And obviously, in the sport of the NFL, I think that that's true, especially with kids when they look up to athletes. But I can tell you a quick story that happened to me at Lifetime Fitness. This was probably a year and a half ago. I'm on the treadmill, and a gentleman in his 60s walks up to me, and, you know, I have my earphones on, so he kind of taps me on the arm like he wants to talk to me, and you know, usually I'm pretty focused, and I don't want to talk to people when I'm actually doing the treadmill stuff. So, you know, we started chatting, and he says, you know, he goes, normally I wouldn't do this, but I have to share the story with you. He said 12 months ago, he said that he was in the locker room, and he saw me step on the scale, and the scale had read like I was 295 pounds or something. And he thought, and he was like, wow, I believe this guy's in that good a shape, and he weighs that much. And when he got on the scale, he was like 320 pounds. And he thought to himself, you know, my God, I weigh more than Tony. I'm 6 years old. I'm like, you know, 8 inches shorter. And he thought, you know what, I've got to change what I'm doing. Because what I guess the baseball bat across the head for him was, I can't believe I weigh more than a guy who played pro football.
There you go. There was your defining moment right there.
Yeah, and the amazing thing was, he weighed 220 pounds. He had lost 100 pounds in that 12 months, and he did it by every single day he would do cardio. And every single day, and he started eating better, obviously, but he lost 100 pounds. He looked great. He didn't, you know, he didn't have any surgery or nothing. He didn't do any diet pills or nothing like that. He just started eating right. He started working out. And he shared that story with me, and I can't tell you how much I appreciated that, because I had no idea. I'd never seen the guy before, you know, because I kind of keep to myself, and I'm kind of in tunnel vision when I'm working out, and I try to avoid all the noise and distractions. But, you know, when he told me that, I thought to myself, that's an incredible story. It's an absolute incredible story, and you never know just the one sentence you say to somebody or the one action that you do, or you never know how it's going to affect somebody else's life. And in that case, all I did was I stepped on the scale, and he happened to be around that part of the locker room, and he saw the digital number come up, and it said 295, and, you know, it's like one of those actions I didn't even know that it happened, right? So you never know how your actions and your words and your reactions are going to affect other people.
And isn't that an amazing lesson for everybody just listening right now? Is just, you know, and don't you wish you could just spoon and feed that to your kids? You never know how what's going to come back.
Yeah, I mean, and
that's a great story.
You know, you know, people will send me stuff, or I'll meet people that were huge football fans, and they'll ask for an autograph, or they'll ask for a second to take a picture, and I will never refuse that. And I'll tell you why, because the chances of me meeting those people again are probably never, like, nil to zero. And the impression that you leave those people is the impression that they're going to have of you the rest of their life. And I always tell my wife, Char, I said, I was a huge fan of Deepak Chopra. Mm-hmm. And listened to a lot of his stuff and the metaphysical stuff and the, you know, Ayurveda and all this and all that. And I took the stuff that worked for me, and I left the rest of it alone. Well, you know, this was about 2 years ago. He was at a book signing in Tempe at a bookstore. And I said, oh, my gosh, Char, I said, this is one of the people that I look up to so much. I said, I've got to go. I said, even just to shake his hand. Because he did help me out via his materials, his CDs and DVDs, as far as shaping the way I look at the world. So I go to meet him, and there's a line where he's doing a book signing. And, you know, I walked up, he signed my book. He never even looked at me. He pushed the book towards me. And I was like, that's it? He couldn't even make eye contact with me. And I thought to myself, now I wish I never would have met him, because I was let down. And you know, so much of the stuff he talks about is, you know, just, you know, being grounded and down to earth and, you know, all these things. And you know what? That could have been the 1,000th book he signed that day, and he was tired. And he was having he was tired. It's not that big a deal, but for me, because the way I looked at him and the way I respected him, and I still do, but it was a letdown, and it made me walk away with an empty feeling of, oh, you know, I wish he just would have looked me in the eye and said, hey, you know, great to meet you, you know, and move on. So, you know, that being said, I always make sure to make eye contact with people when they stop me in the street or at the gym or if we're talking, because I think when you look at somebody in the eye, you're acknowledging them and you're saying, yeah, I'm listening to you. And so, you know, it was just one of those stories within a story that kind of made me go, oh, I wish I never would have met him.
Which is too bad, but then you move forward from that, right? And you just mm-hmm. make an extra effort now. There's nothing
exactly.
wrong with just a nod and a smile and a warm handshake and you know, looking somebody in the eye, particularly, well, Tony, you know, you want to look a woman in the eye because otherwise
Absolutely.
Your eyes start going other places. So. Anytime you guys look at me in the eye,
about.
I'm liking it.
Jenny, I don't know what you're talking about.
He said Jenny, not Journey.
Yeah. He's gonna back away from that one.
That's a great story, Tony, and it really makes a difference. I mean, what can, you know, what you never know what impression you're going to give, like you talk about, and you always want to leave someone better off, don't you?
Well, absolutely, and you know, I've had people say things to me, you know, that are not profound, but they'll say something, and it's where I'm at, and it's the state of mind I am in, or the, you know, the connection that I have, or where am I at that time, if I'm struggling with stuff, or if I'm doing well with things, and somebody can say something that will impact you so much that, you know, they have no idea that it's impacted you. Now, that can work both ways. It can impact you positively or negatively. It depends on how you take it. So, you know, you always try to be careful, or I always try to be careful and you know, to say things and not, you know, is this person maybe going to take this the wrong way? So, you know, delivery is so important. But, you know, little things like that gentleman walking up to me at the gym, and then, you know, I'll get emails or whatever, I'll get regular mail daily, you know, and people will write, you know, literally do a handwritten letter and saying, you know, I remember watching you in college and, you know, I always wanted to be like you. I always wanted to play professional football, but I wasn't built for it. I did play, you know, semi-pro football, and then they go on to the story about, you know, how they wake up one day and they realize they're addicted to alcohol. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, you know what? And then I heard your story, and I figured, hey, look, if he could do it, why can't I do it? So, and then they get sober. So, you know, the whole purpose that, and we didn't talk anything about, you know, ended up writing a book about my life, but, you know, the whole purpose of that book was not to make revenue. The purpose of the book was to let the message get out there that no matter how bad you think it is, there's always a way out, and there's always hope, because I thought it was, you know, there was no hope when I was, you know, in those last few years of my drinking and drugging. I was like, this is it. This is as good as it gets, and it's bad. So, and you know, people will read the book, and they'll, you know, either call the office, they'll email, they'll say whatever, and just that stuff, for me, is like medicine. It's like, you know what? When I went public with the steroid use and the drug addiction and everything, I knew it was going to step on some people's toes. But when I weighed the pros and cons, the pros way outweighed the cons as far as the potential to be able to help people.
That's awesome. See, I told you he was a great guy.
Incredible.
Didn't
I? And that's why I think you're such a credit, I mean, to society, I think, because it does give hope to people that have no hope. And you've been through it. And it's a real credit to you to have the courage to do that. And your purpose has to be so much greater than so many people in life right now. The purpose to really explain to people how they can have a better life. That's got to make you feel really good, Tony.
It does. You know, it does. And it is. It's just every time I hear a story, it's a reconfirmation that I did the right thing, because I knew it would ruffle feathers, me being honest with, you know, my, you know, drug use. And, you know, my dad was really, really disappointed that I went pup with it. And it really, really hurt that relationship. But, again, you know, I was like, the whole motivation for this is to help other people. And if it would have helped one person, it would for me, it would be worth it, because, I mean, I'll never forget how bad it was at the end and how, you know, hopeless life was. And if somebody can, you know, hear about the story or watch one of the clips on YouTube from, you know, an ESPN video that I did, or you know, read a bit of the book, and they can go, you know what, there's no reason that if he can do it, why I can't do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, why
Absolutely.
Don't we take a quick break? Tony, can you stay for the next segment? We're going to also bring Fred Erickson in. A martial artist, I think a third-degree black belt, isn't he that?
Yes.
I think he is.
He's got quite a list of accomplishments.
Wow,
yeah.
Let's get them both down to the studio. I want to see a match right now. Just kidding. And we'll be right back. We'll be joined by Fred Erickson, martial artist, third-degree black belt. And, of course, on the line is Tony Mandarich, a great NFL player, second overall pick in 1989. It doesn't get better than that. We'll be right back.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today. 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is the debut show of Mind Your Body, starring Journey Reeves. I said Journey because if you want to have a good journey in life, you definitely want to talk to Journey, who is a fitness guru, and it's good stuff. People need to pay attention, and you seem to know what people need to know. That's very important. And of course, we've been talking to Tony Mandarich. And joining the conversation now is Fred Erickson, third-degree black belt. Fred, how are you?
Wonderful. How are you today?
Oh, we are great. And, of course, you know Journey, right?
I do.
Hi, Fred.
And
Hi,
you,
Journey. How have you been?
I'm good. Thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. And do you know Tony?
No, I do not know Tony, but I heard the last part of his conversation, and I'm extremely impressed. Hats off to Tony for what he's doing.
Oh, thank you, Fred. It's a pleasure meeting you.
Thank you. You too, Tony.
Absolutely. And back to Journey.
Sorry, we didn't mean that side conversation.
No, that's I love it. I love you know
oh,
me. You guys, the more boys that are invited to the party, the better. So it's all good as far as I'm concerned. Fred, I brought you on the show, and here's why. You, first of all, you're an accomplished athlete, obviously. You are the current captain of the U.S. World Karate Team. You have 11 national karate championships under your belt. You have one world karate championship. As well as you maintain a life outside of that, obviously, you are president and CEO of Knowledge Capital Alliance, so you're a busy guy. You've got kids who are grown, but you still spend a lot of time with. You have a lovely girlfriend, I'm sure, takes up some of your time. You have dogs that you're taking care of. You're a busy, busy guy.
Well, that pretty much ends up. That's all I've got.
That's it. That's an awesome life. But what I find so inspiring and motivating about you is that you take such good care of yourself. You know, and I know a lot of it is just so that you could do better at your sport, but I think you would do it anyway, wouldn't you?
You know, that's a really good question. I can't answer that question because I do it primarily because I love what I do, competing, teaching, and if I don't really push myself hard to stay in shape, I can't do it because the guys that I have to go in a ring with are 25 years old and stud athletes, and the old man would be on his back, you know, on the other side of the ring real quickly here if I didn't try hard. So,
you're competing with 25-year-olds. Can we ask how old you are?
Sure.
How old are you?
58.
58, and you're going against 25-year-olds?
And kicking their butts.
Not necessarily, but I do okay. I enjoy the opportunity to train with the young guys and to compete with the young guys and to be able to travel around the world and meet some of these people who, in most cases, don't speak the same language, but we kind of have a common bond and a common language. So I've been fortunate enough to be able to go to Japan and various places and compete with people. And, Journey, I know you've seen my Facebook page. If you look at it, about half the post you can't read because I don't speak the language of these people that I'm friends with.
I think they have a translator option now on Facebook.
It's interesting that most of them speak English. However, I don't speak any of their language, so it's kind of imbalanced, I think. But
well, but you speak the universal language of karate, which is a discipline. And we talked about discipline in the last show. Yeah. You were talking about what I term as focused discipline, and it's something where you have a goal set and you have achievable small short-term goals to get you to your large goal. Now, when I met Fred was a couple of years ago, and he was going to be going to the World Championship in Japan. Is that right, Fred?
That's correct. Yeah.
And you're
August last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah, he was on a mission. So his idea of morning is running up the side of a mountain.
Wow.
That's how he starts his day. And why don't you
describe,
who gets it.
Yeah, describe your day. What do you do to train? Because you're in such a high-level competition. What does a typical day look like for you, Fred?
Well, do you want the rundown? Because I'm pretty anal and it's pretty scripted.
Yeah, I think we
could
get
that. Fanatical discipline you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It could be the edited version.
Well, Mondays I go to the gym. I lift and do a lot of ab work and things. You got to have a lot of abs because these guys hit you in the stomach one time and it's over with. So I do that, and then I go to the karate dojo and train. Tuesdays, either in the summer I get up early and run a mountain, or last thing before the sun goes down, I go out and run South Mountain. I go run up and down South Mountain. And it's interesting.
Just a tiny little mountain on the south side.
Well, but the interesting thing was what I used to do is run up the side of the mountain and then walk back down because it's this treacherous trail. Journey's been there. And when I took her out there on a mountain, we were hiking up the mountain, she turns around and starts running down the mountain. And I thought, well, if she can do that, I guess I need to be able to do that.
Competitor.
So now I go running up the mountain and down the mountain. But anyhow,
you
that,
never
that's
know
just
how you're
going to
inspire people.
That's right.
Right. I didn't know that. That's a good story, Fred. I had no idea.
How long does it take you to run up and down the mountain?
It's a 1.6-mile loop, and it takes, my best time ever has been 18:10, and usually it's around 19 minutes thereabouts.
And Journey, what's your best time?
I have never tried it. I do the 3-hour hikes, Tom Thumbs, for 3 hours and 15 minutes. I'm not a fast girl. I'm just like I'll hang out there all day if somebody lets me. So
and
I don't want to hurry through it.
And I drove around the mountain in an hour and 17 minutes. Okay, so that was So let's see. You got some other points you
wanted to do. I do. You know, and this goes to both guys because I want to talk genetics a little bit here. I think people like to blame their genetics for the fitness, their state of their health and their wellness. So let's start with Tony. Let's go back to you. What kind of things run in your family that you're very conscious about trying to avoid as you get older?
Well, I had a brother that died of skin cancer when he was 31 in 1993. So obviously, you know, I'm always aware of, you know, things on my skin. If I see something that I think is suspect, I get to the doctor immediately. You know, my mom is in the mid stages of Alzheimer's. My dad was diagnosed as a diabetic not that long ago, probably 5-6 years ago, and he's, you know, I think he's like 81. So it was way later in life that he got diagnosed. But, you know, I mean, for the most part, you know, I'm pretty healthy. You know, the 80% of my motivation for working out these days is for longevity and quality of life.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't want to live to be 90 but be in a wheelchair the last 25 years of my life, and I want to, you know, I want to enjoy it. I there's a lot of things to do, a lot of things that I still want to accomplish, and a lot of and a lot of people I want to meet. And for me to do that, you know, I have to, you know, keep my side. I don't have to be in world-class shape, but I need to be doing things that are good for my heart and at least give myself the best chance possible.
I think that was wonderfully put. Thank you. Let's go to Fred. What kind of things run in your family? What are you seeing?
It just struck me when Tony said that because I had a brother who died of a brain tumor in 1993.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm so sorry, both of you guys.
Yeah.
That's a tremendous loss.
Yeah, it was. It was. I was there the last days. I'd happened to go out to Massachusetts where my brother, he was in the Marines, and I went out, and he had a remission of brain cancer, and I happened to be there when he passed, which was good because I never would have seen him, and it was a good thing. But and my mom is a breast cancer survivor. But as far as I know, that's pretty all there is in my family. The rest of it, the genetics are really good, Norwegian background, and I give credit for most of my being able to do what I do to the genetics that my parents have passed on to me, and then taking that and combining it, like Tony said, with a lot of hard work to be able to maintain that. I think it's a combination of both.
Do you, when you run into people who, and this is to both of you guys, and we'll go back to Tony, when you run into people who have excuses and they're like, oh, I wish I could be like you, and I'm sure you guys both get this, you know, what do you say to them?
Well, you know, I look at, and I find it surprising, and I actually find it very surprising sometimes. I'll have people come up to me, usually men, and they're in their 30s or 40s, and they'll say, you know, I just can't believe how good a shape you're in. And to me, that's a surprise because, and I think, you know, Fred will be able to attest to this, I always compare myself to when I was in the best shape of my life. So I gauge what kind of shape I'm in now versus what kind of shape I was in when I was, you know, running all day and working out and doing all those things. So looking at it that way, from that perspective, I think, okay, well, you're in decent shape, but you're not in great shape. But I guess, you know, these people that come up and say these things to you, I think maybe they've never had to push themselves, or they were never pushed hard enough get to that level, that, you know, that level of you can go a lot harder and you can go a lot farther than you think you can.
Amen, brother.
And you know, and that includes me. And I think to myself, this is the hardest I've ever worked out. And then you get with a training partner and you do stuff that you think to yourself, I never would have done this on my own because nobody would have pushed me. And but, you know, I think, go ahead.
Didn't somebody introduce you to a BOSU once?
Yes, actually, a very nice, lovely young lady. First initial is Journey. And and that's a, you know, that's a great example. You know, my type of training was so old school. It was go in every day and lift as much as you possibly can. And, you know, go in the next day, lift as much as you possibly can. And then as evolution happened, and as time went on, even in the NFL, things started going to core training, and the workouts started changing. And I remember going on the treadmill as recently as 2-3 years ago and looking at these people on these BOSU balls and thinking to myself, what a bunch of sissies, you know? And then Journey puts me on one, and she about kills me, you know? And then you have a whole new respect for those people because you don't realize how hard it is, you know, to use your core strength and you know, to balance yourself on the ball and then to do exercises on this ball and all these things. And then, and not even including the BOSU, some of these plyometric exercises that people do, you know, they don't look, you know, cool, but boy, I'll tell you what, you talk about working your body out and, you know, it gives you a whole new respect. So, but yeah, listen, Journey's, I remember the one thing, Journey, that you said to me that you probably don't even remember saying, and it was one of those things that left an impact on me. And you had said to me, you shouldn't be working out as hard as you are on that treadmill. She's like, there's a better way to do that. And I was like, well, I don't get it. And then as I talked to you and you explained a lot of things to me, it all fell into place. And I was like, you know what? She's right. I'm pushing too hard the wrong way. And once she sat me down and she kind of explained some things to me, it really, really, you know, changed the way I looked at things and the way I approached them, for obviously for the better.
Well, we have about 4 minutes left, but okay. I think you have another question for Fred.
Yeah, let's go to Fred now. Fred, same question. I know for a fact that you have people who approach you on a pretty regular basis and just want to know what your secret is or what pill you're taking. Am I correct?
I keep telling them it's the pills, yeah.
Yeah.
all drugs are good drugs at this age. I don't know.
What color is that pill? No, just kidding. Just teasing you. Okay.
Well, I think it's a combination of everything that you do. You know, from although I'm not by any stretch of the imagination a good eater, my body kind of tells me what I need to eat. So I maintain a good diet, I eat a lot of good food, a lot of food. But I do have an ice cream fetish here, so I have to take care of that one occasionally. But a lot of it is just the self-discipline, I think, that I've gained over the years, and probably a lot of that has come from my initial foray into martial arts 35 years ago, and then my renewal of it, you know, 15 or 20 years ago, is that discipline. And that discipline kind of goes into every aspect of your life. And one of the things that I wanted to kind of mention is that discipline is what we teach kids. And if you start kids out at 5 years old, by the time they get to be in junior high school and high school, you'll find exemplary kids because they've gained that discipline. And you don't find these kids who are out, you know, out of shape and out drinking and out smoking and that sort of thing. They've gained that. And to me, that's just the best gift that you can give a young person growing up, is that inherent self-discipline that they can take with them from the rest of their lives.
No question about it. You know, we're at the end of the show. We'd love to have you both on again. But how do people get in touch with you? I know, Tony, you have a business, and Fred, you probably are involved in a business, or I think you teach karate. So, Tony, let's start with you. How do people get in touch with you? Have any contact information?
They can go to our website, mandarich.com. That's our main media website where we do internet marketing and we do obviously photography, video, stuff like that. And that's just my last name. It's the spelling of my last name, .com. If they want to know more about the background, you just go to tonymandarich.com, and that's where, you know, the videos are of the football stuff and information on the book and stuff like that.
Thank you so much. Fred, how about you? Any contact information coming up for
anything? The easiest way to find me is go to Arizona Wado, WADO, one word, ArizonaWado.com. That's our dojo website, and all the information on there is my contact information. Everything's on there if you go find me.
Well, Tony Mandarich and Fred Erickson, thank you so much for being on Breakthrough Thinking and the debut show of Mind Your Body, starring Journey Reeves. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
thank you.
Guys.
Good job, Journey.
Thank you.
Wow, they were delightful. Journey,
they
how
awesome.
Do people... Oh, they're incredible. How do people get in touch with you, Journey? I want to get in touch with you.
Okay, well, that's a fabulous question. Several different ways. My website, which is www.mindbodyunlimited.com. You can also reach me at 480-370-7768, and I'd be more than happy to help anybody with any health and fitness needs they've got.
This is going to be exciting because you're on next week.
Yay!
The start of the official Mind Your Body starring Journey Reeves. This is going to be so cool. Fitness guru Journey Reeves. It's been a pleasure. It's exciting. I can't wait for next week, 3 to 4.
All right. Thanks a ton, Dave.
Thank you, and we'll see everyone tomorrow. Who do we have on tomorrow? I don't even know who we have on tomorrow. What is it, Tuesday? Oh, we have a special sponsors roundtable. Jim Hyten, Reitner, Hyten & Lewis, and Barbara Haggerty, and from our show, Mind Your Own Business, similar to your title, and we'll see you tomorrow.